Yes, you get to keep your paper.
Let us read from God's Word today. We will be reading from Acts 4. I'm going to start a little verse earlier, 33, and read to 37. So let us hear from God's Word these words. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Folks, the word of God, thanks be to God. You know, folks, in the Bible, we have sometimes what I like to call the stars of the Bible. These are people like Abraham, Noah, Moses, King David, Solomon, Peter, the disciples, and Paul. And, of course, the biggest, the superstar of them all, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, if one studies the Bible, even some, we get to know these folks because God used them in powerful ways. Because their names are mentioned hundreds, I think Jesus' name is mentioned over 2,000 times in God's holy word. But there's no less important others who may only be mentioned just a few times in the Bible. And their calling is no less important. And I often call these folks the unsung heroes and heroines of the Bible. And so today, I want to share with you a look at one unsung hero of the Bible, Barnabas. His gift of ministry was to encourage others. Yet his name is in the Bible. It's almost like an asterisk stuck next to Paul the apostle's name. And Barnabas, you know, does some things, but Paul's star rises. And as you read the book of Acts, pretty much the big bulk of the book of Acts talks about all of Paul's missionary trips. But yet, if we look at this unsung hero, we understand better how we are called to become true encouragers of the faith. Because, folks, let's be honest, encouragement is really hard, seems to come by these days. I had heard this story. I'm not sure if it was Billy Sunday, who was a famous pastor that preceded Billy Graham, or Billy Graham himself. Well, this pastor went into just a little old diner, a little greasy spoon restaurant. He went in for breakfast, and the waitress there seemed very groggy and disinterested and just seemed to be really bummed out. So, you know, the waitress came, took his order, and he wanted to get the encouragement somehow to this lady, so he said this: "Well, bring me some ham and eggs and a few kind words." You know, about 15 minutes or so later, she returned and set the food before him, and she said, "Well, there you go." And the pastor said, "Well, what about the kind words?" And the lady just kind of looked at him, and she said, "You better not eat them eggs." Well, encouragement is something that we all can get strength from, but discouragement in these days seems to be the much more taken road, just to say, watch out for them eggs. All too often, we can find ourselves becoming discouraged and angry, and we can end up like a version of the Incredible Hulk, just mean, angry, and just spewing discouragement everywhere we go. Well, I think I found, I'd heard this little particular phrase for so long, but I think I found the originator of it. Jim Burns, an author of youth ministry books, once said this: "For every critical comment we receive, it takes 9 affirming comments to overcome the negative effect of just that one in our lives." Everyone needs encouragement. We thrive on it. Our everyday conversions are sprinkled with it. Right, Matt? Right. You're looking good, man. You know, you are such a good person. I admire you. Thank you, Marcia, so much for what you do. And Alice and the choir, you guys are just awesome. You know, we all want those things we want to be affirmed with. You know, we go out and look at those. But, you know, sometimes we can end up just trying to make it a personal favor. We do encouragement because we want our own backs sort of scratched and being that person, getting a little mark on our good bat, you know, notch bat, to think that we're doing something good. So how do we get down to true and sincere spiritual encouragement? Here is our unsung hero, Barnabas. Actually, his real name is Joseph, or if you have a slightly another translation, Josias, which are both just derivations of Greek and Hebrew, of Cyprus. He was such a good encourager. This Joseph was such a good encourager. It says in our text that we just shared here, and I'll be sharing other texts about him throughout Acts, that he got a nickname. He got the, in the early church, he got the name Barnabas, which, as Brittany has already said, means son of encouragement. I can't help imagine if he was walking into the early church there in the church of Jerusalem, and he's walking through other people, oh man, there's Barnabas, man, he's such an encourager. You know, just people saw that he was such a person that uplifted them as well. And God used him to help grow the early church. And, you know, he shows such an excellent model of encouragement for us today. So today I want to look at 3 points where Barnabas showed encouragement in the way of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He showed it to those who were unlovable. He showed it in a way that reflected Christ and enabled others to have second chances. So let's look at these points here. The first point is this. Barnabas encouraged other Christians to embrace the unlovable. It was Barnabas, the encourager, who helped bridge the gap between Jesus' disciple, the early church, and this guy that his first name was Saul. And later he took on his Roman name, Paul. You see, Barnabas had the courage to present Paul to the Christian church. Now, think about this, folks, if you've read the book of Acts. Paul pops up. The first time he is mentioned is he was holding the cloaks of those who stoned Deacon Stephen, the first martyr. So I imagine the deacons here would, man, don't bring him here. You know, don't do that. And Paul literally drove the early church out of Jerusalem, and he was going to drive them even further than Damascus until Jesus met him on the road and transformed him. Now, of course, the Jerusalem church people were not there. They didn't see it. And here comes Paul back to them saying, I have met Jesus Christ. Oh, sure, you've met Jesus Christ. You know, because Paul, if you think about it from their viewpoint at that point, was the ultimate Grinch. He was either Darth Vader or Thanos. They didn't want to touch him with a 139.5-foot pole. They would rather, if they had to touch him with a lightsaber, better than a, or maybe better yet, that gauntlet of infinity stones in order to, you know. But what does Barnabas do? Let's look in Acts 9, 26 through 30, and it says this. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they all were afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas helped the apostles see that Paul was truly converted. He reflected what Jesus did throughout his entire ministry to embrace those who were not who were considered unlovable. Jesus went and talked to the woman at the well, the 5 times divorced woman at the well. He talked to the blind. He talked to the mentally insane, like the man who had 1,000 demons in him and called himself Legion. If we are to be encouragers of faith, we need to set out not just to encourage those that we already know, but we need to encourage especially the ones that the world rejects. We should do it not just to toot our own horn or to bring attention to our own self, but bring the attention to that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our next point of being a spiritual encourager. The second one is this. Barnabas' encouragement was focused on the growth of God's kingdom. Barnabas' encouragement was focused on the growth of God's kingdom, not on himself. We read about this as we take Barnabas' journey now in Acts 11, 22 through 25. And it says this, when news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them with all of the purpose of heart that they should continue on with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Now, this sounds pretty good, but let's look what Barnabas does. Let's look at the next few verses. It says, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it was for that whole year that they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So here we have Barnabas goes to the church of Antioch, and it says in this scripture he led many people to the Lord. But Barnabas knew of someone else who was a great theologian and speaker and knew that this was a person who could be useful in God's kingdom. His name was Paul. So he brings Paul out, and then the scripture says what? A great many people were reached. The sidebar to all of this is because of the growth of that church there at Antioch that followers of Christ began to be called Christians. There's no credit or record here of Barnabas taking any credit here. In fact, if you look at it, he paid his own way in the opening scriptures. He helped the church. He paid his own way. If you look in 1 Corinthians 9:6, both he and Paul paid their own way to do their ministry. They didn't want that to be a stumbling block. Now, Barnabas could have just stopped at the first church of Antioch, and maybe they might have, when he passed on, renamed it, the Barnabas Memorial Church. He could have done that. He could have stayed with Paul, leaving Paul in charge and kind of take some of the accolades in, but he did not do that. Barnabas continues in the Spirit of God to encourage others to step up and to grow spiritually. He plans the very first mission trip ever. He pulls Paul out of the church pulpit onto the streets and synagogues of many cities, and even on his home island of Cyprus. Even while they're there ministering on Cyprus, he doesn't take the limelight. In fact, if you look at Acts 13:7, there is a critical switching point there. It goes from a mention of Barnabas and Paul to Paul and Barnabas at that time. Think about it. Barnabas starts out with this first mission trip, but he does not end up being the big star. He truly reflected what Paul later wrote to the church of Thessalonica in his first letter to them. He said this in chapter 5, verse 11-13 of Thessalonica. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor amongst you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in the favor for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I know when I sat down and I felt like the Lord had me do a little, add a little rewriting to this. Recently, I had the opportunity to meet a former member of the last youth group I met. A young man. His name was Kyle Whitaker. Now, let me tell you, when I was youth minister at Courtney Baptist Church, Kyle Whitaker was a very shy young man. I mean, he's so shy that if a girl would say hi to him, he would fall over. He would never even sing or do anything in front of people. He was a very sheltered young man. But yet it was men of encouragement, such as Barry Dotson, the minister of music there at Courtney Baptist, and Pastor John Brown, who took this young man under his wing and encouraged him. And now, as I spoke to Kyle a couple of weeks ago, he is now a man who is married. He's a music teacher in Johnson County, and is an interim choir director at Buies Creek Baptist Church, located near my alma mater of Campbell University. You know, the reason that he's there is that others encouraged him to grow without thought of their own glory. Kyle got a second chance to become an encourager now to others, because others, such as Pastor John and also Barry, without thought of their own glory, encouraged this man to grow. Now this brings us to our final point. The third part of our study of Barnabas as an encourager is that he was an encourager of second chances. You know, not everything on that first mission trip that Paul and Barnabas did was rosy. We kind of find this out in hindsight when we look in Acts 15, look at verses 37 and 38. It says this, Paul and Barnabas are now getting ready to plan another mission trip. And it says here in verse 37, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them one who had departed them in Palavathia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, we're not clear on the reason why John Mark bailed out on the first mission trip, but yet here in Acts 15, Paul's not willing to give John Mark a second chance. And I find an irony in this, because who embraced Paul when he couldn't get his foot in the door of the Jerusalem church? Barnabas the encourager. Well, what ends up happening is Paul leaves with another person, I think it's Silas. And then Barnabas took John Mark on a separate trip. We don't get a report of how Barnabas and John Mark's unsung trip did. But we do get an idea and understand if we look in God's Word, Barnabas took this young man's failure and he turned it around. And he even turned it around with Paul, with the dispute between John Mark and Paul. When Paul is imprisoned, one of his final letters he writes to his young protege Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:11, he writes this. He says, "Only Luke is with me." He says, "Get Mark and bring him because he is helpful to my ministry." Somewhere there, Barnabas made it happen. Paul made amends because Barnabas encouraged the discouraged John Mark. Paul writes even in Colossians chapter 4 to ask that church to welcome John Mark with open arms. Barnabas was indeed a patient encourager. He had even been patient with Paul. And now it had shown fruit. We need to develop the eye of wise compassion that Barnabas had. Because think about it. John Mark even goes on to be the writer with Peter dictating it to him. The writer of what? The Gospel of Mark. And even we can see here in this scripture that I've read that Paul learns to forgive. If we are really honest as a church, there's no church that has escaped the human emotions of pride, envy, fear, and power, and discouragement as well. Because we live in a broken world. We live in what is even being termed now a council culture. That if you mess up once, just once, you are literally, virtually wiped off the face of the earth. You know, Barnabas only moved along the spirit of truth to bring others alongside with him, to forgive and to show that Jesus Christ is the Lord of second chances and to raise others up in Christ's name. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 through 17 tells us this. May Jesus, our Lord Christ himself, may God our Father who loved us and by his grace give us eternal encouragement and good hope to encourage your hearts and to strengthen your every good deed and word. Hebrews 13:3 tells us to do this, not as the exception of encouragement, but to daily, it says, but encourage one another daily, long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Folks, God wants us to be encouragers. He wanted us to be encouragers so much that he sent his son Christ to encourage us to establish a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins, erasing sin's deceitfulness. And further than that, Jesus told us what? To love our neighbors and challenges us to consider who is our neighbor. Reference the parable of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and the greatest commandments. So I say to those who are on our youth mission trip, you all be headed to the hills of North Carolina to do ministry. So I challenge you all going on the mission trip to be able to be willing, and you will have opportunities where you will see the unlovable. Embrace them, please. Don't do so to try to earn a spiritual merit badge or a tilted halo to crow about when you get back here. Acknowledge that you may mess up or you'll find and experience people who have messed up. But these are people who need second chances. And you all, as you go, will be the hand of Christ giving others a second chance. Now, I'm not going to erase those of us here in the sanctuary and those on the other side of the camera there. We need to be encouragers too. And Brittany's already kind of done the same thing for me, so I'm going to extend her challenge to go out and say and do something of encouragement to other people. It may be someone who is homeless physically or homeless emotionally because of troubles at home or something's going on, but be willing to encourage and uplift them because in doing that, we show the light of Christ to others. So let's be willing to follow in those steps. So as a word of encouragement today, I want to call down our youth mission team, and Matt's going to talk a little bit about it, but we're also going to have a word of encouraging prayer for them today. Okay, Matt?
Yeah. All right, so if you are going on the mission trip, please come down to the front. In other words, if you're wearing one of these awesome blue tie-dye shirts... so before you, all of these great men and women of the faith will be traveling to Spindale, North Carolina, just south of Asheville, to be serving with, as Pastor Mitch had pointed out, those who maybe not as fortunate as we are. We will be working with an organization called YouthWorks, where we will be, you know, getting our hands a little dirty over these next couple days, whether it's doing work projects or working behind the scenes for nonprofits where we will sort and things like that. So all of these great youth, as well as my fantastic adult leaders, thank you again, by the way. Let me publicly say that to Jamie, Maudie, and Diane. Thank you. They all came on their own accord. I did not pressure any of them except a few. And I said, you know, I even told the parents, look, it's entirely up to them if they don't want to come. And all of these said, here I am, Lord, send me. So thank you to all of you, and I look forward to what we have to do this week. Without further ado, I'll turn it back over to Pastor Mitch.
Okay. I'm going to do our special prayer that we're going to have here. And I'm mindful that both Matt and I come from the hills ourselves, and one of the well-known psalms from that if you preach up in the mountains, you must at least use this psalm every other month or you're in trouble. It's Psalm 121. It says, I lift my eyes into the hills, and where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord. You are that help that is coming from the Lord to go to these people, to minister to them, to be an encourager of second chances, to take and maybe have a, I don't know if I can do this, but then go and indeed embrace the unlovable if the unlovable is present there and show the light of love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray, and I'll ask us as a word of encouragement, let us stand as we have this prayer, as a show of solidarity and uplifting for these who will be our hands and extensions, not only of this church, but also of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed Father, Lord, we come here to commission to you the youth of this church. Lord, you have said in Timothy that we should not look down on them, but instead to edify and uplift them, to grow so they may grow in your love and your grace and peace. And we're mindful, Lord, that we, if we are here to train them, that they will grow up and they will not depart from it, Lord. So, Lord, I pray for the wisdom for to be instilled upon these folks. May they be the extension of your love and grace to these people as they go. Lord, it's going to take courage, and it's going to be times where it seems like uneasy moments. But, Lord, help them to take a breath and know, say, I come here in your name, Jesus, and you will work through me to show love. Lord, we ask for travel mercies. Lord, we ask for safety as they go about the task that they do. Lord, we pray for all the adult leaders. I especially pray for Pastor Matt, Lord, as he leads this group. And Lord, may they come and walk through it and come out of it, Lord, with a greater knowledge and growth of what they can do in your name. We pray this and we raise you up because you've never failed us yet, Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Okay, I'm going to ask if you guys can be seated, and if you guys maybe can find some seating here and there. I'm going to ask the specifically the youth that when Pastor Mike, Matt, and I go after the benediction, I say it, we want you to go out so folks can encourage you as you go. So, and I know some of us others have, you know, some singing to do. So I'm dismissing you all youth to sit there, and there, and let's see, all from a seat, just stay down front. Matt, I guess I'll let you direct them. And then we want to uplift this song as we praise Jesus who never fails us yet.